Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Hi there, I'm Andrew McDermott. Today I'm speaking with paleoentomologist Dr. Günter Bechli, a senior fellow with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Bechli served as curator for amber and fossil insects in the Department of Paleontology at the State Museum of Natural History in Stuttgart, Germany. He earned his PhD in geosciences from Eberhard Karls University in Tübingen. Bechli specializes in the fossil history and systematics of insects, the most diverse group of animals, and especially dragonflies. Günter, welcome back to the show.
Nice to be back.
Well, today I thought I'd discuss an article you recently wrote for our flagship news site, Evolution News, called The Demise of the Artifact Hypothesis, in which you discuss recent paleontological discoveries that strengthen the case for the abruptness of the Cambrian explosion, when all the different body plans of animals appeared in the fossil record as out of nowhere. Can you give us a bit of background on what the artifact hypothesis is and why scientists came up with it?
Sure. So the artifact hypothesis is basically a kind of ad hoc hypothesis to explain away conflicting evidence from the fossil record, where Darwinism expects or predicts fossil precursors, so-called missing links, but they are not actually found. They are simply postulated to have existed, and they are missing only because of lack of preservation or because of undersampling. So the most particular case would be the Cambrian explosion, and there this hypothesis has been invoked to explain the abrupt appearance of animal phyla and the animal body plans in this Cambrian explosion compared to the complete absence of fossil animals from the Ediacaran, where they should document these numerous intermediate forms between protists and animals. So it's kind of a fishy hypothesis that's not suggested at all by the empirical evidence, but just imposed by the theory. So Darwinists have to appeal to such ad hoc hypotheses to protect their theory from empirical falsification by the fossil record. But actually, in the last years, it looks like things are slowly going to change. As you may remember, there was this famous meeting of the Royal Society in London in 2016, and their evolutionary biologist, Professor Gerd Müller, in his keynote talk, actually agreed that neo-Darwinism cannot explain the discontinuous transitions in the history of life as they are documented by the fossil record. So things are going to change, and scientists more and more recognize that there is a problem.
Okay, so the artifact hypothesis, has it been around for a while? Is it modern?
It's, let's say, it's very popular among certain modern anti-ID activists and hardcore Darwinists like Donald Prothero or Jerry Coyne. But the idea itself is not so much recent. Actually, it was already suggested in the early 20th century by a certain Charles Walcott, who is probably not that well known, but he's the discoverer of the very famous Burgess Shale fossils found in the Canadian Rockies, which documented for the first time this Cambrian explosion. And Walcott realized the problem and first formulated this kind of explanation why there are no precursors of the Cambrian fossils in the pre-Cambrian layers. And there's another Charles, that is Charles Darwin, who also already appealed to the incompleteness of the fossil record, because he very well realized that his postulated gradualism, that everything in evolution has to go in tiny steps, step by step, and that this is not found in the fossil record of life at all. So he had this kind of example of compared the fossil record to a multi-volume encyclopedia, and then imagine that only some pages of each volume are preserved, and maybe from each page only some sentences. So with this, Darwin tried to explain away this abruptness of appearance of fossil forms in the fossil record. So the idea is old, but it's very popular among modern hardcore Darwinists.
Okay. Now, I know you've been looking at some of the new discoveries that disprove the artifact hypothesis. Can you give us a few examples?
Yeah, sure. So the hypothesis itself, for let's say until 20 years ago, was quite a valid and reasonable possibility. But then new discoveries were made by geologists and paleontologists in the past 10 to 20 years. And what they discovered are numerous new fossil localities which have Ediacaran age, so are prior to the Cambrian explosion, but belong to the same type geologically and sedimentologically as the famous Cambrian Burgess Shale. So these types of fossil localities are explicitly called Burgess Shale type or BST localities. And these kind of localities clearly could preserve ancestors of the Cambrian animals if they would have been there, even if they would have been small or soft-bodied. But in these localities that have been discovered from Ediacaran age with this type of preservation, there is nothing. And so these animals are not missing from the Ediacaran because we haven't found them, but because they obviously did not exist at this time.
Okay. Can you give us some more examples that may disprove this hypothesis?
Yeah, sure. So if we look at these discoveries in detail, then there are a lot of fossil localities which have been discovered from Spain, from Iran, from Siberia, from China. And most important are localities which yielded a lot of fossils from the so-called Miaohe biota of southern China, which are about 550 million years old. And then the Lantian biota, also from southern China, which are a little bit older, about 600 million years old. And then a locality from western Mongolia, which is called the Sun Arts biota, which are about 555 million years old. So in each of these localities, if we look at the very numerous fossils that are preserved there, there are no non-uncontroversial animal fossils. There are some problematic fossils where people say, well, that could be animals, but others say maybe they are just algae. But most of the, or all of the uncontroversial fossils are all just algae, either microalgae or macroalgae, but no animals and no putative ancestors of the Cambrian phyla.
So the more fossil sites that are discovered, the less support there is for the artifact hypothesis?
Yes, exactly. It's basically refuted by this evidence because we have now so many localities from this crucial age from all over the planet that we can say this is not longer be possible to be explained away as an artifact, or maybe it was just in a certain region. We have localities from Europe and from Asia and from different parts of the continents and different windows of time in the Ediacaran and even years prior to the Ediacaran. So we can be pretty sure that animals really didn't exist in this era.
What about the scientific literature? Have there been any recent studies that reinforce the point that metazoan animals did not yet exist in the Ediacaran period?
Yeah, definitely. So there was a recent study this year by Anderson et al. And what they did is they studied microfossils, and they studied different localities from Russia and from Canada and from Svalbard. A little different time window, about 800 million years ago to 1 billion years ago. And these localities also all belong to the so-called Burgess Shale type, so they could preserve soft body animals. And what the authors found is that there are no such animals. And if I may quote a sentence from their abstracts, is what they wrote is these deposits lack metazoans, that's animal fossils, even though they share fossilization conditions with younger BST, Burgess Shale type deposits, that are capable of preserving non-mineralizing metazoans. Thus, metazoans, at least those typically preserved in BST deposits, were probably absent from sedimentary environments before approximately 800 million years ago. So what this study shows is that at least till 800 million years ago, there were no animals. These other localities that I mentioned from China and Mongolia show that even 600, 555, and 550 million years ago, there are no animals. So the more we find, as you said, the more this picture is converging to the fact that these assumed ancestors of the Cambrian fauna are simply absent from the Ediacaran, where they should be, definitely should be, according to Darwinism.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious, how did your paleontologist colleagues react to these discoveries? Do they agree with them? Are they puzzled by them?
That depends. I fear most of the paleontologists, because only few are really experts on the Ediacaran or on the Cambrian explosion. So most of my colleagues probably are unaware of these new discoveries and therefore may still think that the artifact hypothesis is a reasonable approach. Those who do know about these discoveries, I think, generally bit the bullet and agree that the assumed ancestral animals did not exist in the Ediacaran, at least until 550 million years ago. There is a window of time after this, after 550 million years ago. There is a 10 million year window of time until the end of the Ediacaran where we lack such localities, and that is their last resort. So they have to pack the whole evolution of the Cambrian animal phyla in this short time span, in this 10 million year window of time. And there's a nice example by a relatively recent study by Daly et al. From 2018. And they studied the Cambrian explosion of arthropods. And what they wrote in their paper is that BSTs, again, Burgess Shale type localities from the latest Ediacaran period, are abundantly fossiliferous with algae, but completely lack animals, which are also missing from other Ediacaran windows. So they completely admit this fact that these animals are absent in these layers. So what they also found is that the oldest trace fossil evidence for trilobites, and trilobites are relatively modern in terms of morphology arthropods, is going back till 537 million years ago. So these authors have to assume a transition from primitive animals, cylinderate-grade, jellyfish-like ancestral animals, to crown group arthropods. So that's arthropods which have an exoskeleton, which have compound eyes, which have articulated legs. That all this happened, this transition with this reconstruction, within only 30 million years, which is, just to give a comparison, is just the lifespan of one or two successive marine invertebrate species. And it's totally ludicrous to think that this transition in terms of morphological reconstruction could be done in this short period of time, biologically and geologically short period of time. But these authors and also other mainstream scientists don't see a problem, or at least don't admit that this is a problem, because it simply must be possible, because it must have happened if the theory is true. So they have to assume that this is real. If they would admit a problem, they would compromise the issue of unguided Darwinian evolution, and therefore they will never admit that this short window of time that is still available for the evolution of Cambrian animals is a problem. But increasingly, it's totally obvious that this is not just a tiny problem, but it's a fatal problem for Darwinism.
Yeah, hence your title, The Demise of This Hypothesis.
Right.
Well,
right.
What conclusion can we draw from these new discoveries as a layperson, and do they have implications for intelligent design theory?
Yeah, sure they do. What he safely can say is that these thousands of missing links that are postulated by Darwin's theory, so these intermediate forms that would show the stepwise transition from, let's say, protists to these complex animal body plans of the Cambrian animal phyla, that these missing links and these ancestors either did not exist at all, or if they existed, they did develop so quickly that it's totally impossible to explain this transition with unguided evolution. So the crucial issue that is invoked by this problem is the so-called waiting time problem. And this is that according to the laws of population genetics, the changes, the genetic changes that are required for these major re-engineerings to get these new body plans, that they cannot have originated and cannot have spread in an ancestral population within these short available windows of time. And therefore, this abruptness of the Cambrian explosion and this lack of ancestors in the preceding layers is not just an unsolved problem for Darwinism, but is indirect evidence in favor of intelligent design, because intelligent design as a goal-directed and non-random process can explain the data much, much better. that is totally irrespective of the question if there is common descent or not. So I think this evidence from the fossil record clearly favors intelligent design over Darwinism in an inference to the best explanation.
Wow. Well, thank you, Günther, for your expertise and for helping us understand these important developments related to the Cambrian explosion. It's such a hot topic still today, and you bring great clarity to the subject.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Well, to learn more about Dr. Beckley's work, visit his website, www.beckley.at, BECHLY.AT. And to listen to more interviews with Beckley and others in the intelligent design research community, hop on over to idthefuture.com or search for the show in your favorite podcasts platform. And by the way, if you enjoy the content on this podcast and want to help others find it, consider leaving a positive rating and review in your preferred podcast platform. That will help new listeners discover compelling scientific evidence for intelligent design that they can weigh against the claims of Darwinian evolutionary theory, just as Dr. Beckley has done today. We appreciate your support. For ID the Future, I'm Andrew McDermott. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.